Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Kia ora and diaguit, and welcome to Capital Irish Radio. And I'm coming to you from Capital Irish this Sunday, the 24th of July. You can reach us by email on capitalirishradio@gmail.com or check out our Facebook page, Capital Irish. Firstly, and as always, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Butler's Irish Chocolate, Wellington Irish Trust, Hutt Valley Irish Society, and Peter and Susie in Guinness. Thank you very much for making this possible all every week. So now on to our show. Well, what a week it's been for the Irish in New Zealand. Last weekend's game here in Wellington was a cracker. I don't think there was anyone that was Irish that wasn't at the game by the sounds of things. With our history in the All Blacks, well, it's been poor to say the very least. We played our first game with them in 1905, where we lost by 15 points, and that was in Lansdowne Road, the then Lansdowne Road. And then we entered just a wee spell of 111 years without a win against New Zealand, which I think the likes is only seen by Mayo in an All-Ireland final. So in 2016, we broke that streak, and now we're at the dizzying statistics of having played them 36 times in test match, with the All Blacks winning 30 times and Ireland winning 5, and one of them ending in a draw. But it is showing us how Ireland has come along in the last, 30 odd years as well. But we're shooting to the top of the world rankings and heading, to book some holidays, maybe to France for September 23 for the World Cup, because I think that could be a real special event for us. And so now this week, with all the hype around Ireland playing and the buzz of Wellington and in the stadium as well, one of my work colleagues mentioned about our national anthem, and she said, oh, it sounded different than ones she'd heard in like the soccer and other areas. And so I kind of had a chat to her around, that it isn't our national anthem. And it was kind of a little bit controversial, the song. So for years, we've had Fields of Athenry being played at an Ireland game. But there came a point where Ireland's Call was created by Phil Coulter. And this was kind of to demonstrate the across border approach to have, all 32 counties included in the Irish rugby team and what that meant. And so instead of rattling on myself, I found a wee interview from Phil Coulter describing Ireland's Call and what it means and how he created it. It was from Radio 1 a few years ago. And so it's actually 27 years that we've had Ireland's Call. And so now I'm going to play Phil Coulter and his interview about how he created Ireland's Call.
On England in the Six Nations game in the Aviva on Sunday, the stadium will once again ring to the sound of Ireland's Call, our rugby anthem, which is 20 years old this year, and the man responsible for it, Phil Coulter, joins us now. Phil, you're very welcome.
Nice to be here, John.
And take us back to that time back in 1995 indeed. And you were given a commission essentially by the IRFU.
Yeah, I was called into a meeting initially by their PR company, Slattery PR, made the initial approach, and then I had meetings with the IRFU, who explained what their dilemma was, I suppose. It had been kind of an elephant in the drawing room for a while, John, in that era of all-inclusiveness, they were looking for a song that could be sung comfortably by players and supporters, be they from the north or from the south. So they asked me if I could come up with a kind of a, just as Scotland has got Flower of Scotland, which is not its national anthem, or the Welsh have got Bread of Heaven, or the English, God love them, have got Swing Low Sweet Chariot. But, they were looking for a sporting anthem. Mm. Of course, there were kind of conspiracy theorists about the place who thought that this was some kind of appeasement to the Nordies, that they were trying to replace Oran Nevean. But the whole point of the thing was to try and get, you know, a song that they could stand shoulder to shoulder, be they players or supporters, as I say, and sing the song comfortably. So that was the challenge. That was the job.
So take us through that songwriting process with Ireland's Call.
Well, you start off, of course. You start first of all the title. That was the tricky part to begin with. A title which says really what you want to say as much as you can and as few words as possible. Songwriting is all about economy, you know. So the title Ireland's Call was a good start off point. Then. Musically, it needed to be something which is not too complicated, so you needed a chorus like Ireland, Ireland, together standing tall, shoulder to shoulder. Good image, shoulder to shoulder, because it's rugby players, etc. But the tricky part, having established the kind of that martial sort of a tempo, etc., the tricky part was the lyric to convey that all-inclusive thing without being like too cheesy about it, you know. Without, you couldn't use words, for example, you couldn't use words like united, you know, because that might be, you know, a bit insensitive to people
to
in
unionists,
the north.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it couldn't be too cheesy, as I said. It couldn't be like hands across the border kind of stuff, you know. So I remember very well struggling over that. But the key then came when I came up with from the four proud provinces of Ireland. Mm. That, because it's a provincial game, and without spelling, you know, the north and the south, you know, six counties and 26, the four proud provinces, lyrically was the way that got me in there.
Mm. Give us maybe a taste of what you're...
Well, most people don't know that they because we normally, at games, we play the verse and the chorus, but there's actually three choruses. I think it's the second chorus that encapsulates that. From the mighty glens of Antrim, from the rugged hills of Galway, from the walls of Limerick and Dublin Bay, from the four proud provinces of Ireland. See, most people don't get to hear that.
No, we don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cut short before then.
Yeah, and the third verse is hearts of steel and heads unbowing, vowing never to be broken. We will fight until we can fight no more, for the four proud provinces of Ireland.
Great stuff. And initially, I suppose you were prepared for that. It was quite a backlash, wasn't there?
Yeah, it didn't take me by surprise at all, John. I mean, when we were discussing it, someone in the IRF said, yeah, we would, you know, it'll be like the Fields of Athenry that they sing at soccer games. And I said, no, hold on a second, fellas. The Fields of Athenry is a hit song. It's been out there. It's in the public domain for many years. It was a huge hit for Paddy Riley for months on end. People are aware of it. What we're trying to do here is A, teach people a new song, and B, persuade them to sing it. Mm. And, you know, well, as a race, we don't like to be told what we're going to do or what we're going to like or what we're going to sing. So I knew there was going to be a backlash, and there was. I mean, to this day, there are still critics of the song, there are still begrudgers.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, if you get a room full of people, half of them are going to say it.
Standing tall, show.
And welcome back to Capital Irish on 106.1 FM. And you would have heard there the High Kings doing their version of Ireland's Call. Really cool to hear the full version of it and get a bit of an explanation from Phil Coulter as to each of the verses and why they were there. So I guess so much closer to my heart this week is going to be the All-Ireland final. We've got to throw in at 3:30 Irish time, which means a very early start to a Monday, or for me, I think it'll be a late finish to Sunday night. But I'll be ready at 2 a.m. for this one. So Kerry's heading to an All-Ireland final against Galway after a semi-final where Kerry beat Dublin for the first time in 13 years. So it's giving us a bit of a clear runway for an All-Ireland. No offence to any Galway people at all. The semi-final against Dublin was something like out of a movie, to be completely honest. We were into extra time and then we got that free up into Hill 16, which the Dublin fans typically swarm on Hill 16. And from 55 yards out, had a wee breeze against us and a Kerry player, Shawnee O'Shea, he's actually from Kenmare, so my hometown, and he just nailed it across the bar from on the ground. What I'm going to do is share a really quick snippet from Radio Kerry, and this is the last minute and a half of play. Be warned, please turn down your volume if it's up high. This is Tim Moynihan and Ambrose O'Donovan going through the last 90 seconds of the semi-final last week.
It's the throughout the world. This kick could decide whether Kerry are in an All-Ireland final or
look,
not.
In normal time. Hill 16 is a rook.
Oh, Hill 16. It's blue. They're shouting. There's foghorns. There's every sort of thing up there.
The Dublin, what Shawnee
O'Shea. Can Shawnee quieten the hill? It's hard to quieten the hill, says he. Now, Shawnee O'Shea, steadying himself, on the run-up, strikes the ball, hits it with all his heart. Where does it go? It's over! We did it. Up Kinmare. We're in an All-Ireland final, Ambrose.
The answer was, could Shawnee do what Stephen Coxon
did?
And the answer is yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Obama said, can we do it? We can. Yes, we can. Kerry are in an All-Ireland final. Kerry 114, Dublin 113, Ambrose.
Absolutely. Quite breathtaking stuff, a credit to both sides. But what a pair Sean O'Shea is. That was a difficult kick. Into the breeze, into the fire. And did he split the upright?
And look at Paddy Andrews. Paddy Andrews is behind me here, and he's in a state of flux. He doesn't know what's happening, Ambrose. The delight. It was an epic, and my voice is gone, Ambrose.
So there you would have heard the extremely tame reaction from two Kerry commentators about getting through to an All-Ireland. What I obviously love about it is the energy and everything else with it, but the fact that Tim Moynihan actually said, "Hop your boyo," which is sort of the highest praise you can get in Kerry for anything. After that tame reaction, there's another final on Sunday that's happening, and it's happened to be Pat Spillane's last day commentating. Pat Spillane, obviously, he's Kerry football royalty. His family from Temple Knowe, again, near my hometown. A lot of hometown features this week. So his father and uncle have All-Ireland medals. They were minor grades, kind of superstars. And then on his mum's side, he had four uncles who have All-Ireland medals amongst them. These were all kind of in the 1940s, 1950s. And so when the Spillane boys kind of came along, it was just almost expected they'd play for Kerry. Kind of no matter what was going to happen, they would have some involvement in there. His junior foray at football, all the All-Ireland medals kind of eluded him, to be honest. He didn't win much in the minor grades, but as soon as he got into kind of the under-21s, that's when he started winning back-to-back All-Ireland medals. In total, he won 8 All-Ireland medals from 75 to 86. And that was all before I was even born. And then from when I was growing up, I kind of knew him as running Pat Spillane's bar. You know, he was the guy behind the bar. You'd see him every once in a while. And then from 92 on, he was taken in as the commentator for the Sunday game. Sunday game, obviously, huge. It's, you know, they always commentate on the championship. And they, you know, in the last, 30 years that he's been doing that show, it's coming to an end on Sunday. So it's kind of fitting that Kerry's in an All-Ireland. Very fitting that that's going to be his last way of kind of seeing out his commentating career. But the biggest thing about Pat Spillane was that he was very straight up. He would say it like it is. He definitely had a kind of an older school approach to training, which was like run till you got sick. And that was the best way to win in All-Ireland. Just be so unbelievably fit that no one could catch you. So over the years, he had these kind of legendary clashes with Joe Brawley. So Pat Spillane and Joe Brawley, Joe being from Derry and the Northern football coming through in the last 15 years, Pat Spillane from Kerry, who sort of haven't done much appearance in an All-Ireland final for a good while. And so they always have these clashes about players. So I'm going to play one of these legendary clashes where they talk about Cullum the Gooch Cooper. He's from Killarney, and Joe Brawley is kind of underwhelmed by how he's performing. This spiraled into kind of quite the kind of online clash, because then, you know, Cullum Cooper had a comeback, everyone had a comeback, but this is what sprawled it all off. This is Joe Brawley and Pat Spillane talking about the Gooch and his form playing.
Yeah, Joe Brawley, I do have to ask you something. You upset a lot of Kerry people recently by comments that you made about the Kerry team, particularly about Gooch Cooper. You described him as a choker. Last night he became Kerry's top championship scorer.
When you're looking at someone like Cullum Cooper, he's obviously one of the modern greats. I mean, really, I was thinking about the Kerry team in general. And
did you call him a choker or not?
No, I didn't. I said that if a stranger had come to see Cross McGlenn. Hold on. I said that if a stranger had come to see Cross McGlenn playing the Crooks in the All-Ireland Club semi-final and watched it, and you'd said, look, there's one of the greats of Gaelic football, he would have said, no, he's choking, which he was. And the point that I was making about the Kerry team in general is, and it may be because of the great skill that they undoubtedly have, I mean, obviously when you're assessing Kerry, it's like assessing Manchester United, you're talking about one of the great teams, is that on all occasions, this is a fact, Pat, on all occasions, whenever a team, rather than crumbling, as, say, Mayo and Cork did in those four All-Ireland finals, and stares them in the face for 70 minutes. On those occasions, Armagh, Tyrone 3 times, Dublin last year, Kerry have looked down first. And you've got to ask yourself that question. These boys soldiered on against all the top... hold on. And turned games around. Every time... Hold on. Every time. It's just a simple fact. I mean, I don't know what the big deal about it is, and I'll tell you what the evidence of it is. The evidence of it is this, Pat. Against a Division 2 team in Killarney 2 weeks ago that were past their sell-by date 4 years ago, Kerry folk were absolutely delirious afterwards. Paul Galvin was in tears because there is a question mark. You have to say they're one of the great teams, but there's a question mark, which is this. When a team really puts it up to them, as we've seen, on each occasion that that has happened...
How many All-Irelands have Kerry won?
I appreciate that.
For this present team?
Absolutely right, but the point that I'm making is
when
this...
When you're explaining, they, you're in trouble.
They go out, they blitz Mayo early on and they collapse. Blitz Mayo and collapse.
He's digging.
Hold on.
Can we get a bigger shovel for Joe, please?
Digging. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Nobody's digging. It's a fact of life. That against Tyrone on those occasions, against the Dubs last year...
Were your comments misrepresented or are you now retracting them? That's what I want to know.
No, I'm not retracting them. I'm interested in this point that on all occasions when a team has stuck with them... Like last year. How long, Pat? It's a fact of life.
Give me a chance.
Kerry have blitzed teams early on. Or, like, I think it may be... One explanation that was offered today by one of the columnists was that Kerry, unlike a lot of other teams, say, for example, Donegal, don't have to go to the well that often because cruise control is enough to burn off 90% of teams. But I do make the point genuinely that I have yet to see this Kerry team in a big game in the face of adversity coming through and winning.
But yes
or no? I think it's a fair point.
Yes,
I think it's a fact.
Yes or no? Is the coach a choker?
I've never said that about him.
You did.
No. So it's no then.
It's a simple point.
Three facts.
Yes.
One, he called Gooch a choker.
That's
because
not true.
I read the article in. That's number one.
That's not true.
Second fact, Gooch has now scored 19 goals and 240 points. The highest scorer in championship history, that's 297 points. And fact three, and people talk about choker, the place to perform is in championship in Croke Park. Gooch's scoring record in Croke Park is averaging over 5 points. Joe, there are two types
He's
of people in this world. There are people who don't know, that's me, and there's people who don't know they don't know, and sometimes Joe falls into that category.
Let's ask you about another aspect of last night's match.
Let's just put this in context. Like, I mean, I have always admired Colm Cooper, as everyone else does. I mean, he's one of the great players. But I ask the simple question. You know, when you're looking at someone at that level, you're saying to yourself, well, let's see him lead his team in adversity. And it's a simple question.
You asked the question where an average Crokes team were playing a superb Crossmaglen team. Sometimes when you're playing against a team
Pat,
that's far superior...
I'll tell you something else, Pat. The big complaint about what I asked, and it was a debate point, was, oh, this is a lack of respect for Kerry, etc., etc. I mean, this is the man sitting beside me who described Tyrone as the purveyors of puke football and who only, after people said eventually, look, this sounds like awful sour grapes, he then began to dam them with faint praise. The sort of faint praise that he dabs Donegal with now. I mean, you're very, very sensitive when somebody asks a question about Kerry.
To
paraphrase one of the Gospels, forgive him, Lord, for he knows not what he says or writes.
And welcome back to Capital Irish on 106.1 FM. So, love him or hate him, that was Pat Spillane going up against Joe Brawley and explaining, you know, Joe sort of saying that Colm Cooper was a bit of a choker. It was more along the lines of Pat kind of calling him straight out and saying, look, that isn't the case. He's the greatest scorer of all time for Championship, which he still holds to this day. So that's kind of his way of fighting off some of the Joe Brawley onslaught. So I'm just going to round off with a few notices for this week. So just a reminder of the monthly potluck dinner in Hutt Valley Irish Society. So it's the last Sunday of every month, so it's on in 2 weeks, so come along and bring a plate. Another one is this week, there is an award-winning Irish film called Colleen Cúna, and it's being released across New Zealand, and it's the first time that an Irish language film is being released. So you can check where to see that at madmanfilms.com.au. Encourage everyone to get out there and have a wee look at this Irish film. It's won loads of awards back home and back in Europe and some of the festivals as well. So we want to thank you once again to all the sponsors. A huge thank you to our producer, Dougie, here in the booth. I'm just going to forward on some commemorations before this Sunday when Kerry play Galway. I've gotten the thumbs up there from Dougie around that comment. So I'm going to leave you with this Old Town Road parody. This is Daniel Casey and Aidan Leahy. It's from the 2019 All-Ireland, and it's their kind of parody on Old Town Road, but it brings in obviously the Kerry team. So Gerda Mina Mahagiv, agus Kerry Abu, and have a great week. Thank you.
And Kerry are true to win All-Ireland football final. But one question remains. Will Dan and Aidan make a song to drive on the county? Western.
Gonna take the kingdom to the old Jones Road. We're gonna run right till we can't no more. Gonna take the kingdom to the old Jones Road. We're gonna run right till we can't no more.
Got Foley in the back, Clifford in attack. The Sam is coming back, no other county'll be a match. Spillan up in front, in right with the punt. Dub's been in the Abbey, worried about that Kerry force now. Can't your brawly tell me nothing? He can't tell me nothing. Can't your brawly tell me nothing? He can't tell me nothing. Riding up on a tractor, a new John Deere faster. Fleet it from the Gaggerty, you can go and ask him. Our trip up is routine, coppers for a smoochie. Cowboy hat's a beauty, match program on my booty. Can't your brawly tell me nothing? He can't tell me nothing. Can't your brawly tell me nothing? He can't tell me nothing. We're gonna take the kingdom to the old Jones Road. We're gonna run right until we can't no more. We're gonna take the kingdom to the old Jones Road. We're gonna run right until we can't no more.
Head down, cross town, gonna see our sports star. Spend a lot of money at the Hill 16 Sports Bar. Kerry's gotta have it for all Ireland's and Croke Park. Riding down O'Connell in my green and gold Corsa. God knows our stress, we've been through all that. Mayo and Tyrone got kicked on back. When we roll up onto that old Jones Road, we're gonna run right till we can't no more. We're gonna take the kingdom to the old Jones Road. We're gonna run right till we can't no more. We're gonna take the kingdom to the old Jones Road. We're gonna run right till we can't no more.
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That programme was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.